Okay. I'm here in Chicagoland doing an off-site interview with my college friend, and I'm so excited. You maybe just introduce who you are for our listeners?
Yeah, my name is Sarah. I live in the Chicagoland metro, furthest rings outside.
I don't even know like where Chicagoland starts and ends.
I would say this is the furthest out that you could maybe say is Chicagoland.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not a native, so
Oh, so
that's.
you don't even have an official.
I don't care.
I know, I'm just kidding. I do tell people from Northern Illinois, like, hey, there's a whole southern part of the state, which is where I'm from, that is also Illinois, and they're like, never heard of
They
it.
really haven't, though. They
I
think this is like farms, and while it is, it's really pretty perfect little mix, honestly.
It's nice. You could like pop up to the city if you want to get your art scene or like your fancy dinner scene
Did
in.
it a couple weekends ago. So fun. And
Nice.
then back home in my
Nice.
bed with my shows.
Yeah, and you can like see the stars out here, I'm sure.
I know.
Yeah, that's a nice combo.
So I'm out in the Chicagoland area. I have three pretty cool kids. Keep me busy. I work out of my home. And that's it.
Yeah.
I've been all over.
Okay, we're gonna talk about where you've been. So the first question I ask people is why on earth they are willing to sit down with me and open up a deeply hard, traumatic chapter of their lives. So why on earth are you Did you agree to do this podcast interview with me?
Okay, let I'm be honest. So I agreed on knee jerk because you asked me and I can't say no to you.
Good to know. Okay.
And then I thought about it. And I thought about how lonely I was. And even just this week and thinking and preparing and, anticipation, I thought about how I'm the only friend I have that is divorced. And when I needed someone to talk to, I didn't have anyone who could understand. And then the people that I did have, while very supportive, wanted me to fix things that I could not control or fix. So I think if there are more voices out there just supporting each other, knowing we're not alone, felt very alone. So that's
Thank you.
really why.
Well, thank you for being so vulnerable in sharing that. And thank you for recognizing this is what I went through. If I can be a voice for someone else who also feels alone, then maybe they feel less alone by hearing my story.
I think having grown up, well, I grew up everywhere, moving every 2 years or so, but growing up in such a like a religious areas, very religious families, going through this process has been very difficult. And if I could just, it's okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into how others looking in, but not actually being in your marriage, affected, how everything.
I hold some responsibility in that, so
I think we all do,
for sure.
as much as we don't want to admit it.
I do.
Well, let's rewind the clock. If you can tell us how you guys met, what attracted you to each other, kind of the early days.
Yeah, so I was living in Kansas City, and our mutual friend was living there as well. And she had some friends that then entered. We had this little girl posse, four of us, and we went out one night. I was the sober driver. I know what I was wearing. And yeah, we kind of just bar hopped in this little area of Kansas City, and we were having a good time. We heard that there was a bachelor party at another bar. So me and one girl were like, well, we gotta go over there. And yeah, I met my ex-husband. He was not part of that party. He was there. And quite honestly, it was the drunkest I've ever seen the man. I am attracted to people who are interesting.
Okay, what made him interesting?
He was this very physically, like, very built man. Like, he turns out he was a bodybuilder. Not why I was interested in him at all. Didn't even notice that. My friend told me that later, like, he had really big arm muscles. It's like weird. He was really into like musicals. And so we were at the bar talking about musical theater. And I was like, fascinating. This person is so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, just chit-chatting about, the usual things that you talk about
At bars is
the
musical theater, of course,
Broadway.
in the Midwest, of course. What else are you going to talk
Yes.
about?
He was just fascinating to me. He was interesting. He wasn't like anyone else. And I was dressed. I had been at a party at my boss's house, so I was wearing like a collared shirt. Like I look like I would look now as a nearly 40-year-old woman in this 22-year-old body, So I'm sure he, I don't know. We were just had very good conversation. He asked for my number. I think I gave him my number. And then we went out, and I was messaging with our mutual friend. I was like, I honestly don't remember what he looks like. And my other friend was like, well, he has huge arms. I'm like, oh, really? That's really weird. He sings. So, okay.
So you
But
don't even remember what he looks
I
like that
don't,
night.
and I was sober.
And that's
So
yeah.
it was the conversation.
Yeah. You guys connected on something that was a little unique and different.
I really like people who have a story to tell. I want to like get to know all the interesting people and have all the conversations. And here's this guy, this rowdy bar. Yes, I
Okay,
know.
yeah. So if we fast forward the clock,
Yeah.
what describe kind of the marriage and the family dynamic?
Oh. What a weird dynamic sometimes. I mean, I think it didn't start off well.
Okay.
Right, I know. I thought, wow, we beat the odds. We've made it. But so we were engaged and we moved. He got a job up here actually. And so I followed him, and it was just we lived in this really nice apartment complex. Things were going really well. It was just something was just off. Things were just not. Something was off. Things were weird. I can't even remember how it all happened.
Things were off before you got married, or?
Oh
Oh,
yes.
okay.
Oh yeah.
So
There's a
before.
story.
Okay.
Yeah. It got really bad. There was just so much drama with our parents and planning the wedding. And I thought it was all just like wedding planning and all this stuff, but it was so much more and so much deeper that I was naive and I didn't know everything. I was not in the know. So I actually called off our wedding. I called it off. I moved. I had a dear friend who saved me. Her dad had a place. I lived in this not great place, but I was on my own. Yeah, and then his sister had texted me something, and I just reached out to him, and that's kind of how we got back. He was keeping a very big secret from me, and everyone knew, his whole family knew. So I do think that they had good intentions, but when you're the only one who doesn't know, your mind fills in the blanks.
Yeah.
It,
Your
you're
mind will
just
create stories.
right. And so I created a story that everybody hated me, and it was really that maybe I don't know how they feel, but yeah, he was hiding something from me, and I needed to know. So once we kind of got back talking, we went through therapy. We obviously got married. We ran off, like not ran off, we had planned it. We went to Vegas and got married. I know, can you imagine
I
that?
cannot even imagine
It is not me.
Sarah from college running off to Vegas.
No.
Okay.
No. In my very like super conservative dress, like I had like a, it was almost like a turtleneck. sleeve, like yeah, so we went to Vegas, and like 2 days before, we did invite our parents, because we weren't going to invite them. But then we did, and they came, and we had like a lovely little time. And then, yeah, so it didn't start off awesome.
It kind of sounds like it started off with some secrecy.
There was a dishonesty there. I have had friends ask me if I wish I hadn't married him. I find that question kind of hurtful because I would love to have avoided a lot of heartache, but he did take me on this incredible journey. Like literally a journey across half the world. But I have these three kids who are fascinating. They're people I would want to talk to in the bar.
They're
They're
interesting.
interesting people. And so, like, what a gift.
Yeah, that's a tough question.
I just don't like it,
Yeah.
but everyone can ask any.
And
Anything they want.
you can't change it. So
No.
what's the value in asking it?
I think the people who have asked me were the people who saw the heartache of the engagement ending. And literally, I had to pick myself up. I was not okay. And then for them to see it happen again.
So it's coming from a place of
Yeah,
love.
pretty not easy, I don't think, to watch.
So you have these interesting kids. Sounds like an interesting life. What was the
Yeah.
marriage like?
So it was, I mean, I thought it was good. He, as soon as we got married, literally weeks later, right? Yeah. I don't even know when we got married. When you kind of elope, you it's hard to remember the day.
Be any
Like
Tuesday.
literally, it was a Monday. Like I don't know. so he had taken a job with the government, so we needed to like we canceled our honeymoon. We had to go straight to move to DC. So immediately into marriage, we were in a new place. I was lucky enough that my work would let me work from home. I could go remote. And this was before remote work.
Right.
Like, nobody did this. People were not happy at me. And in a new place with no friends, no connection, no family, and a husband who is very excited and has a very big job that is arguably more important than me, just by the nature of what he was doing. You can't argue with what he was working on. Like, you just can't. It takes precedence. So I come from a family of like military, like my dad was in the military, so I understand like duty and honor and country. But I think having to live that as the wife, fresh, brand new, like that's not how we were before we were married, and now we're immediately married, immediately this is our new life. It was hard.
Yeah, it's incredibly hard to be picked up and transplanted in a new place where you know no one.
Know no one and know that like he can't talk to me about what he's doing and I'm not involved in anything. So our marriage immediately was his life is his life. His work is his work. It was just a completely separate. There was very little crossover.
Okay. So having those points, it sounds like the points of connection were few and far between.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Which connection is rapport and
Yeah, and I think the work that he was doing, it was, he was working for the State Department, and he couldn't tell me anything. And so that created this environment where I just don't ask because I can't know, and it doesn't get anywhere to ask him anything, and he's gonna feel a certain way, and it's just like, well, we'll just have this little life that we have here at home, and that's really it.
So yeah, your life is really kind of confined to when we're at home together.
Right, when he is home.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for those, 3 to 4 hours outside of
Yeah,
sleeping.
yeah. There's no texting during the day. There's no call during the day. There's nothing. He leaves, he's gone. Which people have done forever, but that wasn't what I had been used to. So it was an adjustment.
Okay, so Washington, D.C., what's kind of the next few chapters after that?
Yeah, so DC, we were in the metro. We had a weird situation with our, we rented a house, then we bought a home, and I was pregnant. And so, still working from home, I was able to have my three kids working from home. We knew that he was gonna need to go overseas at some point. So we had tried a couple different places, and he just hadn't worked out. And we were super hopeful that this job would work out, and we found out he got this job. We were gonna be going to London. To work at the embassy there. And so we had our third and final baby, knowing that, okay, we're gonna have this baby here in America.
He's gonna be a
We're
US
gonna have an
citizen.
American baby in America. And I had pretty rough birthing situations. So I wanted to stay with my doctor. Have this baby here, pack it up, go. So that's what we did. So we packed up with a 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 5-month-old to England. We had 15 suitcases.
I can't even imagine trying to move like five people to a whole nother life across the
I
world.
mean, I went a little crazy. He thought I was nuts, and I was not, because everything was by weight. Like, if you have any military listeners or anything, they know, you can get so much weight in storage. You can get so much weight with you. You get so much weight for your air shipment, then so much weight for your like for the boat. It's really trying to like get down, like get rid of. We had saved all these girl clothes. We don't need any more girl clothes. We got a boy now. Like, I was like getting rid of. Like, he felt like I was getting rid of everything, but I was really like, we don't want to come back to America with onesies and have tweens.
And have that to deal with.
Yeah, I'm like, let's just get, I'm just gonna do it. So yeah, that was like a bit of a, it was crazy. He left. He was gone a lot before that. He traveled a lot, had to go to the Middle East and like a lot of other places. So yeah, we went to England. That was hard.
You have to do it again now. You have to kind of reestablish a whole new life in another
Was
country where you don't know anyone.
so isolating. For the first year, I was home with the kids, and I just think I had never done that. Holy smokes, that's really hard. And we had to like navigate getting kids into schools and like trying to get them there and not having a car, and I don't know how to do anything. And I know they speak English, but I can't understand anyone. And being terrified, I've never lived in a city before. I used public transportation the first time. My little 3-year-old was trying to get off the bus. She sat down and scooted herself off, and I was like, "Oh God, we're not gonna make it. We're not gonna. We do not fit in here." But yeah, I learned a lot.
You're smart too. You figure shit out.
Oh yeah, I figured it out. And as the after the butt scooting incident, like we were golden on the bus. We were so good at, like everyone should have to do that. Yeah, I learned a lot. It's hard to move to another country. I think everyone thought, all of my friends here thought it was going to be glamorous, easy because they speak English, but it's different. And English, while amazing, already have their friends. They don't really want me to be their
They
friend.
don't need a new American
They
friend.
don't need a new American friend. And, we were diplomats. So, like, we're also not rich. Like, the other Americans that are there are, well, in the circles that we were hanging because of our children, are very well off. And we are, like, the scholarship children. So, like, we don't really fit in here. Yeah, so that was interesting. Great. I got to then eventually, I worked at the embassy for 2 years, and that was beautiful, magical. Learned so much. Would do that job forever if I could, but I can't. So, yeah. But it was hard.
I mean, just moving to a different state is hard.
Yes.
It's a whole other country.
Was hard. When I started working, we got a nanny, which also sounds so glamorous. And it's like, I would have much preferred to go to a daycare provider, but they don't exist in the way that they do here. Love my nanny, still text her all the time. The school situation was different. It was very hard. And then physically, I started to decline. And It was terrifying.
Health-wise.
Yeah. It was terrifying, and I didn't have any support. And the support I was getting via phone or, whatever was just minimizing. And was hard. Physically, my body was failing me, and I was scared. My husband was busy, and I had to take care of things at home, but I physically, I wasn't able to. So it came to a head. We like been so excited. We're here. We're gonna do all this traveling. Yay. We took one trip. We had to leave early because I physically could not do it. And it makes me sad, but it happened. So, I think the combination of my health issues, my husband's job, or my ex-husband's job, and living in a foreign country, it was a lot of pressure on us.
And three young kids, too.
Three young kids.
Yeah.
I was not the best version of myself. By any stretch of the imagination. Eventually I was diagnosed with MS. I knew I had MS. My mother has MS. Like, I'm familiar with the disease, but I do have a flair for the dramatics. And no one could see me. So they didn't see they didn't see it. I was not well. So going through that
And you
process,
went through that in London as well?
I was
Okay.
diagnosed in London.
Okay.
It was actually a beautiful experience. I think I wouldn't change that experience for anything. I was so fortunate. At the embassy, I worked for the health department. So I had the American doctors there were my friends, and they got me into the best neurologists. That was my job, like helping people get doctor's appointments. So like I was into the best hospital, I was into the best doctors. I had American health insurance, even though so I could go privately. It was just good. I did have to MS is weird. It's a weird disease, but like I didn't have to fight for a diagnosis. It was pretty straightforward.
Okay.
But then like when I got the official word, we knew for sure. He went with me. He went with me to the appointment. It was Christmas Eve. We had friends from home, from America, coming that day. I'm so glad that they were there. So we got that news. Took the cab home, which was like an hour. And I just think he couldn't handle the. I don't think he could process it. And I needed a lot. I needed a lot of support, and I don't think he knew how to handle it. And so I was struggling, like emotionally. Physically, I was recovering, and I was going to go on and have medication and have great thing. Medicine is amazing. But emotionally, I was not okay, and I needed, and he just He probably needed two. Perfect Storm?
Yeah, okay. Perfect storm to what storm?
Well, we had a lot of storms.
Oh,
They love storms. They were brewing. And then COVID hit.
so now we're at the time frame of COVID. So 2020. Okay.
Yeah, I was diagnosed. I got the official diagnosis December, Christmas Eve, like 2019. And then COVID hit 2020. Just, I mean, it was stressful for everybody. London shut down in a way that I don't think most Americans can understand. So it's a completely different experience. Literally not allowed to leave your house. Like not even
Yeah,
like you
we
can't, you're allowed to go for one walk a day.
Wow. Yeah, no, we didn't experience that. No.
No. It was completely different. If you sat
No.
down on a bench, an officer might stop you and be like, you need to leave. Just a very different, it's just very different.
Yeah.
Everybody had a different experience, but so the people back home are having different experience than I was having. And that was hard too,
And
but
you're already isolated.
super
And
isolated.
then COVID on top of that.
COVID on top of that, I was going through, I was on, I had to do a round of steroids. Man. They do it different there.
Okay.
They like pump you up. So I was like Superwoman. Like I was like, man, I haven't been able to walk. But now I can like, I was like Louisa on Encanto. Like lifting stuff and like getting it done. And then they don't taper you off. You just go cold turkey. So that's hard. That was hard. That was not a good version. I wasn't prepared for that. No one told me.
Right. And if they had, you
I'm like,
wouldn't know what
I'm
to
a
ex
so cool.
you wouldn't
I'm
know what to experience.
not
Yeah.
Yes, you. Yes, you are not immune to it. Medication, drugs. So that was hard. That was in March 2020. So, and we were stuck in the house. Fighting, not good. Not able to leave, so not able to get any reprieve from each other or space. Homeschooling. I mean, we all had to do it, but it was difficult
Yeah.
with those other factors at the time.
Yeah. I mean, if you were back here, you still would have had that, but there would have been the support network and familiarity
I
and
couldn't even do like Zoom stuff because the time difference.
right.
Our home was, while by London standards, huge. We had a standalone, home. Tiny. Tiny. I was tired and my body was all messed up from medication. My mind was all over the place. I was not my best.
Okay. That takes vulnerability to share all that. Thank you.
It was terrible, Addie. It was, I mean, he wasn't his best either, not, but it would have been hard to do anywhere but just in that environment.
Trifecta. Yeah.
Literally being stuck in the house with each other. It was really difficult. So that's when I started listening to podcasts.
Okay,
I'll
they
tell you about
became friends.
that
Yeah.
one later. So then we did COVID and things were not going well. There was a, as I physically was getting better and I started seeing a therapist there, I got on some medication, which I should have been put on immediately. I didn't know to ask. I'm still learning things. I started to kind of be leveling out a little, but it was still this like coldness from my ex. He had cut me off emotionally. I didn't realize it corresponded with somebody reaching out to him via email, and he had asked me if it was okay that he, what should he do? And I'm who I am, and I'm going to be everybody's friend. His high school girlfriend had emailed him. Was like, should I email back? And I said, oh my gosh. Well, obviously she needs a friend. So yeah, you should email her back.
Okay. Sounds like we're getting into the what happened
Yeah.
part of the story.
It changed. And I thought I was losing my mind because I was kind of, there was a lot of like self-doubt in myself. Everything was about me was changing. Was I imagining things? I don't know. It was different. And I was asking for support and help, and I wasn't getting any of it back. Some of that I can understand now, and some of it I can't. And I had brought up, like, we sold our home in Virginia, so we had this extra cash. We had decided, he was going to quit the government work. This was just not going to be good for our family. It's too hard. We don't really want our kids bopping around all over the world. We want to have a stable, like I didn't have that as a kid. He did. We wanted that for our kids. So, he was like, let's go back to the Midwest. I was like, yes. But I had suggested, this isn't like you're not willing, and I can't give any more. What if we just split that money and we called it
Okay, so at some point in
in
London,
England?
in
Yep.
England, you guys are things are kind of escalating, and you guys have a conversation about
He
moving.
doesn't have conversations.
Oh, okay.
So I say things and he told me no.
Okay.
This is just how, this is how our marriage was.
Okay.
He told me we just need to get back to America, which sounds so silly saying because who says that? But from where we were, it's like we need to get out of here. We need to have stability. Let's get back to America and we'll be fine. And I believed him.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
I
Okay.
thought, okay, this is just hard right now. This is hard right now because the world is literally going crazy and we just need to get back to what we know.
Okay, so you were on board with this plan that he was like,
Yeah, my whole, I grew up being like, this is what I want. I want to be married. I want to have children. I want that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, logically, that kind of makes sense from the outside in. Like, yeah, maybe there is a lot coming at us. What if we can just stabilize back in America?
Right. Let's just do it. We'll be okay. Okay. So we do the nuttiness of packing up, moving back. We had bought this house sight unseen. Got a great deal.
Where'd you move back to?
Here.
To Chicagoland. Okay.
This house.
But, okay.
Our house wasn't ready. it's still not right. but yeah, so we moved in with his parents. He had a couple weeks off, like R&R, to just like decompress, whatever. The kids were going to go to Disney with his family. We were going to have like a whole week by ourselves. I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be so great. We can like reconnect. Like we can like do fun things. I don't know. Like go out to dinner. I don't know.
Right. Have some fun.
We did some painting in the house. Like we did, like, you know, we're getting ready. I thought, okay, we're doing it. We weren't, I guess.
Okay.
We did therapy here at this house. We had one couch. One couch in the house. And the therapist gave us like some things to work on, some things to talk about, you know, like they do. And he just wouldn't. And like a couple days later, I asked him, like, what are we doing? Like, you're not. Told me he wanted a divorce. And we were sitting in his mom and dad's living room. And I was living in their house.
I mean,
it was terrible.
You were like fresh off the boat almost?
Yeah. We had been here a couple weeks. But okay. He wasn't going to be around for much longer. I think he had like a week left, two mm-hmm. maybe, before he had to go back to D.C.
Okay.
I still didn't have furniture here in the house. And the stuff was still in England and in Virginia. So I had to live with his parents. I had to go to dinner like that night with his sister. It was very difficult. Nobody knew.
So that's when he kind of dropped the D-bomb on you. And what...
I was so mad.
What was the reasoning?
In our marriage, I had learned, just don't ask. It doesn't... He said he didn't love me anymore.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what the follow-up is to that. So
what do you say? Like, yeah, I can't make you love me, clearly. We've been trying for many years. And there was clearly not any trying.
Yeah.
He did therapy to tick the box. To say he did it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nope, it's not working.
Didn't work. Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he left. He went to D.C., still living with his parents.
And they know or they don't know?
I made him tell them.
Okay.
He wasn't going to tell them.
Okay.
I wasn't going to tell him. I don't understand. But, so he did. They cried. They said they needed therapy. I wish y'all could see my face. Yeah. His parents have actually been very kind and generous. They helped me move into this house. His dad helps me with so many things around here. If something is making a weird noise, I call his dad. Yeah. So
where are you at in the divorce process? It hadn't even started yet. Okay.
It was not a fun time. We did that for 2 years.
Did what for 2 years?
He lived in D.C. for longer than 2 years.
Uh-huh.
For a full year, he would not do anything. The divorce, I emailed attorneys eventually. Like, I gave it some time because I was like, well, we do need to establish residency in this country.
Yeah.
Quite literally. Yeah. I've not been here for about weeks now. I needed to get the kids to school. I had to get a job.
We're going to put a little pin in this divorce thing as a get my life resituated.
I had to get it together in the most not great looking way possible. I had introduced, we had gone around to meeting all the neighbors. Weird. Weird. But so, for probably like 6 months, it was fine. But I had started emailing attorneys. We wanted to do it as amicable as possible because there's no fixing it. It's done. So, okay. All right. He would come home every other weekend. He would take the kids for those 2 days, and then I had them the rest of the time. So that was pretty hard.
Yeah.
But that was hard. But it was good. In its own weird way. Eventually, though, it started, he just was not open to filing. We would not do it.
And you were waiting for him to file?
I was in this weird headspace where, like, I felt paralyzed in our marriage. Like, he made all the big decisions. I didn't have access to any banking information. It was just not a great situation. We tried to mediate. Eventually, I was like, we have to do this. Like, for the kids, like, we need stuff on paper. So we tried mediation, but it made it so far as to me talking to the mediator, and she wouldn't mediate for us because I wasn't an equal situation, and he had too much control over me still. It was a very hard conversation. I bawled on the phone with this poor attorney. I'm sure she's used to it.
Yeah, she probably, I cried to my attorney too. Yeah, I think they're used to it.
But she was like, I can't help you. You can't mediate. And I think that, like, I knew that inside, but I had wanted to be like, we're going to do this so well. Like, I'm going to get divorced so kindly.
Okay. That's what you were
hoping. I'm delusional.
Okay. I'm delusional. Isn't there such thing as a kind divorce?
Well, I was like, we're going to do this as best as we can. I'm going to suck up so much because I've got these little people here who need me. And I'm gonna do this kindly.
What was important to you about doing it kindly?
I think the kids. I think I was treated so cruelly in the way I was told and the lead up to it that I just can't imagine hurting someone like that. And so I didn't want to do that.
You were just being like extra careful, cautious.
I'm not like a great person, like, don't get me wrong. I have my moments. Like, I just couldn't imagine not trying to be kind.
Okay, so kindness was, you were trying to honor kindness throughout this process.
I was trying to honor myself in knowing that I am a good person. You're throwing all this stuff at me and making me feel like I'm not a good person. I'm a good person.
So you tried mediation, and that turned out to be unsuccessful.
I took a phone call.
Yeah. So then what were next steps after
She
that?
referred me to my attorney. Love them. He was very angry.
Your attorney was angry?
My ex-husband.
Oh, I'm sorry, your ex-husband.
Very
That you
angry.
had gotten legal representation at that point?
Yes, very angry. It was shocking.
Because he wanted to settle outside of.
And he wanted to keep costs down, which is funny because whatever. Which I think everyone wants that.
It's also what they say. So.
He also doesn't live his life that way, so I think it's funny. But yeah, just to keep costs down, and I get that. I wanted that too. That wasn't going to be possible. It was just not pretty.
I'm right there with you. I had to also decide to get legal representation, because my ex wanted to do it outside of the court system and basically hand the court system here, a stamp of approval, divorce us. And I also was ignorant to our finances, but I knew enough to say, I am too ignorant to trust you completely on this. So I'm gonna get legal representation to watch my
You're
back.
smarter than I
That's not true.
am. He's an attorney. So my ex-husband's an attorney.
Okay.
He knows what he's doing. He is very smart. And I'm not saying that I'm not smart, but I am not. I don't take the bar.
I'm not a lawyer.
Don't know the rules. And I trust everyone. It is not a good thing, and it is a beautiful thing. But in this situation, I still, even though I knew not to, I still trusted him. It hadn't yet come out, everything. There were feelings, there were suspicions, but it didn't come out until much, much later, the reality of the situation. I'm glad I found out much later. Again, it was a very cruel way to find out. And again, I will never do anything like that because I would never want anyone to feel that way. But this is my reality. This is what I'm in.
So you got legal representation. He was very upset about it,
Yeah.
but then what happened?
Then he got an attorney.
Okay.
My attorney was often shocked by my ex-husband's emails and the way that he spoke to me, her, and everyone. But I think that was good for me to wake up a little bit. I was seeing things that other people could see, but I was blind. It's like nosebleindness, when you're just like around it, you're not.
Yeah.
I was blind to it. I trust, and I don't verify. I just trust. Now I trust and verify. So that was good. I learned a lot. I'm still learning. I'm still not fully following through on some of the things that I learned, but I know better now. So yeah, then we didn't really fight about things. There were a couple things we went back and forth on. He didn't put up a fight about things. He would throw little fits or whatever. I think that was just to kind of, for lack of a better term, to kind of bully me. I don't know that that was really his intention, but it's just how it went. 50-50 all the way across. I don't want any more. Don't want any less. But he was still living in DC and he had 50-50 parenting.
Oh. Okay.
So we did that for a while. Where he was flying back and forth. I don't think he was always there, and I found out, and so I had to then go back to the to my attorney. But since then, everything's good. He then did move his himself here. He lives with his family, not for financial reasons, for I don't know. My, you know, my in-laws, my ex-in-laws are fabulous. They help with my children. I do a lot of co-parenting with them because he never left his government job. Never left. So he's still not available. So I do a lot of co-parenting with them. We are much better at co-parenting now. We still have moments. You know, I saw him yesterday, basketball game. We laugh. We do things with our kids. We try to be as, like, together as we can be. But it's not going to be the divorce that I wanted when we started the process.
The kind divorce?
It's not a kind. It's, I think, I was delusional. I was really crazy. I was like, you know, I want us to still be able to do some holiday things together. Like, you know, maybe, like, I and I was very, like, aware that we were probably going to move on to other partners and things. Like, and I was, like, having conversations, like, you know, I hope we can, like, be a part of our children's lives together, but separate.
And you had to accept kind of a new reality.
Yes.
What is
I'm
that?
I'm still working on that. Actually, very recently, I've had to, like, shift my perspective again. I think that I will be working on that for a long time. So it's been a year now that I knew for certain that that ex-girlfriend from high school, he is in a relationship with her. I found out when my kids told me they went to the pumpkin patch last year. With her, I know her children's names are, I used to be very good friends with her sister. Like, they visit us in DC. Like, I've known, you know, so I knew when my kids said her kids' names, I knew. It was devastating.
That, which part was devastating?
I had asked, as soon as he said it, the next day I had asked if there was, something going on with them. And he essentially told me I was crazy. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I am. You know, his sister had asked if there was somebody else. I'm very good friends with his sister. Very. And she was like, he says there's no one else. So I don't know the timeline of everything. I'll never get a true answer. But the, like, third, fourth, this was like the fifth or sixth betrayal. And to find out again in such a cruel, painful way for my children. And then to, like, have to be strong and not, and fail at being strong in that moment. And to he wouldn't even tell me about it. He wouldn't even confirm what I knew.
Our stories are fairly similar. I mean, I wasn't moved across the
I
world,
mean, I
but
went and hid in my son's room and I cried. But it was like an ugly cry, you know, those bad cries.
yeah.
And the kids were here. Like, if I could have just avoided that, that's the kindness that I was trying to avoid. Yeah, so that sucks. We're never gonna be okay. Things have happened subsequently, and it's just not gonna, we're never gonna be okay. I have lost a lot of respect for him. I still think we could have built something where we could have like this joint, not like we should hang out, like have a barbecue or something, but like be at events together and it'd be fine. That will not happen.
What?
Because we've tried.
Okay, I was gonna ask what's so
Like,
you've experimented and tried to do this
I
and
asked for something leading up to, I knew she would be there. He lied to me about the things before, and then I got there and I'm like, oh, that was a lie. Okay. Terrible. And I had just said, hey, I want to, like, I know she's gonna be there. Like, that's great. She is essentially a mother figure. Let's be real. But she lacks any respect to me. And I had just asked, like, hey, I know it's your weekend. I know, like, this is like a big event for my girls. And, like, if I'm with the kids, can I just have a moment with the kids? And then y'all can do whatever you want to do. Like, she just wouldn't back off. Like, I had to take my son away from her just so I could see him.
Oh,
So it's not going to be that,
yeah,
like, what I had hoped we could
right.
have. And it's not, like, I can do some work. I can, like, forgive. I can be, but I can't if they're not going to give it back. So I'm figuring that out right now, like literally,
In real time.
like in real time. Last weekend, I had conversations with my sister-in-law, and I was like, "Oh man, I didn't realize it was like this bad." Dang, I'll figure it out.
You're strong. You figured out how to live all over the
Abby,
world.
I am delusional.
No. Okay, so
Not
I mean, you have made it to the other side.
Yeah, I've been divorced for over a year, legally divorced. I'm fairly good at it. I mean,
What tools or resources or support did you utilize or lean into to get through like the worst of the worst days?
I am not blessed with a supportive set of parents. I'm very blessed with a sister who is beyond cool and has taken all of my phone calls, has told me when I am wrong.
In a loving way, as only
Not,
sisters can
it doesn't
do.
always feel loving, but
I know.
yes. She's amazing. I've had my sister. I have to be honest, I have not relied on my friends as much as I probably could have. A lot of that is myself. A lot of that is trying and not feeling great in it because nobody can understand.
Yeah, because you did share that your friends have never gone through this before.
Yeah, everyone's married.
Yeah, and
Everyone's married.
I mean, I did, being in Atlanta rather than Bentonville, I found women who had gone through it before, and it was so helpful for them to just be like, you're in the worst part of it, just know it gets better.
I
But
did not have, I had just like, we can pray and you guys can figure this out. Like, no, you don't understand. He doesn't love me and he lives in DC. Like, he's not coming back here. I can't.
Where do you
I
want me to
don't
go
know
from that?
what to
Yeah, right.
do. I had a great therapist. She was lovely, but with divorce, you change insurance, and I've had to change insurance now several times. I was my ex-husband was lovely and let me stay on my insurance, on his insurance for such a long time, but I needed it with. We had anxiety about me and my care. And now I was literally just looking up a therapist when you pulled in. I'm gonna be calling her to find. I'm shopping for a new one.
Think everyone I've talked to so far has said therapy with that question.
I think therapy and walking. I did a lot of reading. Love some self-help books.
Okay, what would
Love them.
you
I
if
read them a lot when I was in England too, because I was just, I felt hopeless and they helped me. I love Brené Brown.
Which books might you recommend to someone
I can
going
give
through
you a
this?
list because I can't think of.
Okay, there's not one that like just kind of pops to the top. It's like definitely that one.
No. I
Okay.
can think of a couple, but I can't think of the titles because that's part of my MS. I can't remember nothing.
That's okay. We'll put in the show notes.
I have great books. Walking, it's your the movement of your eyes, physical activity, being outside. I just really like I walked so much.
Yeah.
And honestly, listening to podcasts, not like self-help, not like things that I like, things that make me laugh that he would never have enjoyed. And so, like, the finding of myself again, which is hard. I think anyone who has children, when you're going through motherhood, it's very hard. I will say, and I told him this, you did the hard thing and you said that. We needed a divorce. Like, you did the hard thing. You made it happen. We needed to split. Do I wish it had happened differently? Absolutely. Because I'm the one who got hurt the most in it. But I think the beauty in what I'm finding in my journey through divorce is that it is forcing me to be me. I literally, my kids went to their dad's today. I will not see them until Monday. What am I gonna do with myself?
Anything you want.
Was terribly hard at first, and this is now th I'm 3 years into this alone time business. But I'm happy alone. I don't even need to do anything.
So this Sarah who is finding herself,
Yes.
who is she compared to previous
Well, I'm
Sarah?
on like Sarah 6.0.
Okay.
There's been many
There's been
moons.
iterations.
Yes. They're like,
Okay, who's
oh, another
Sarah's?
one.
What do you love? Okay, what do you love about Sarah 6.0?
This Sarah laughs. England Sarah didn't laugh. I didn't realize that I hadn't been laughing until I laughed. This Sarah dances and sings, and I'm able to enjoy my children for who they are. And I don't know that I would have had that gift if I were still with the fog of marriage on me. This version, I lift weights now.
Heck yes!
Oh my gosh, they're so heavy.
Weights are heavy. Weights are so heavy.
Not even that heavy. Not mine. I've really like gotten into like doing things for me.
So how have you prioritized or maintained your health and wellness?
So I work out like 5 times a week or more, I don't think is good, but I do that. I find that I currently am in a season of rest right now, and I'm itching to just get back out there. I can walk right now. I couldn't do that for a little bit. So I'm just finding that seeing the change in my body and then knowing that I can be powerful, even with MS, even with like being middle-aged
Don't say
and
that.
the
That's
changes
a
that
dirty
come.
word.
I'm so excited for 40. Are you 40 yet?
No, I don't turn
Oh
40 till June.
my, you are so young. No, but you were like, because I'm thinking back to when we were like turning 21 and
Yeah.
you were like the last one.
Oh, I am the baby. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Abby can't go to the real bar because she's not 21. Yes, you're right there. Yeah.
I'm still thinking of like our days then when I say it. Like, I'm ready. I am pumped.
To turn 40?
Yes.
Why? What's on the other side of 40 for you?
Nothing.
Or
No.
everything?
Well, that's it. I think that the 30s were so rough. It was so hard. And I don't care.
You know what? You're like, I'm closing this chapter on 30 and I'm gonna hit 40.
I'm ready.
Okay, that makes
I'm
sense.
ready to do it. I'm just mentally, I'm ready. I'm ready to be like this is it. I still sometimes can't believe that I've been through all of this stuff. And so I'm like, whoa. Like I'll remember something and like that happened. That was bonkers, crazy. That happened. But now I feel so much more in control. I had no control. And not even that, like, I'm not like a control freak. I don't really have control because it's like life is, you know.
Yeah, who what's really control anyway?
Right.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like I have more of a say. My voice, I don't put up with it. I don't. And I will say things now I would have never said before.
Yeah, so this is 6.0, Sarah.
I stand up for myself. I'm still like, I'll take a lot of it. Now, people can pretty much walk on me on some things, but when I get to my point, no, we're done. And I've got the receipts to show you that I've tried and I'm done.
So, okay, so what the 6.0 Sarah, she went through some shit and some like deep core values crystallized for her going through all this. What values
I wrote
were
them
those?
down.
Yeah.
I'll consult my list. I asked my daughter, actually.
Oh, phone a friend.
I did because I was like, oh man, I looked up values. Like, what is a value?
Right, ChatGPT,
I
what
was like, I'm writing my mission statement.
is
So I asked my middle daughter, like, what, you know, we had a great conversation. So thank you very
Oh.
much. We had such a fun time. She thinks I'm nuts. So my core values, humor. If you can't laugh, I don't want to be around you. If I can't laugh, I don't want to be there. Peace. I will choose peace over everything. I have been kicking things to the curb left and right because it doesn't bring peace. Boundaries, I'm big on that. Self-advocacy. I will ask doctors questions where I wouldn't have done that before. I will speak up in meetings where I, you know, my voice is so much louder now. It turns out I actually have a lot to say. And I know we're doing a podcast and maybe this is silly, but like people respect what I have to say, apparently.
Yeah.
I had no idea until I started talking up, speaking up. And just accepting people for who they are.
Oh my gosh, my eyes just got big. Accepting that people are
people,
flawed humans,
right,
that make mistakes and do things that you will never understand.
I cannot understand. Then our therapy pre-marriage in our calling off the wedding therapy, our therapist told us that, and this is just like, I think of it so much. I preach it to my children. We cannot control them. We can only control ourselves. And so like just accepting that the way somebody reacts to something or, you know, that is not about me.
Yes. That's also a key learning that is.
And quite honestly, tough. It has changed my perspective on parenting because sometimes I lose my shit. And you know what? It has nothing to do with my children. It has everything to do with me in that moment. And then I say to myself, you need to chill out. Like, our reactions and other people's reactions have so much to do about them. You know, this whole divorce journey, me being divorced says nothing. How this happened says nothing about me.
Nothing.
I was wanting to be so kind. I wanted to control so that we could have this kind thing so that I could have the nicest divorce. Sorry. Nicest divorce possible. I cannot control him. I have quotes in my room. When they go low, we go high. Speak up even when your voice shakes. Like, I want my daughters to know that their voice matters just as much as their little brother, and that I want them to know that. I want them to know that they don't have to do anything for anybody else, even for me. They don't have to make me happy. They need to make themselves happy.
I just listened to a podcast with it's the author from Codependent No More. I forget her name.
I actually need to read that.
She's so good. And she said, you will never be happier in a relationship than you are with yourself. And it was like, yeah, that makes sense.
But I think I grew up just trying to make everyone happy. And then that's just what I kept doing. And I don't want my children to grow
at the sacrifice of you. Right. Yeah.
I don't want that. So those are my core values. We worked, it was a you know, we work on it together.
What? So those are gifts in and of themselves, like yeah. Being able to know what those are that yeah. are important to you. What other gifts or opportunities did your divorce bring you?
The opportunity to be present with my children. I, you know, my ex-husband is not actually a real single parent. You know, he has built-in help. He's got a different situation. I'm I have no family here. I have very little friends. So I'm on my own here. The gift that's given me is that I do have these off days where I can focus on all the logistical bullshit of parenting and being a grown up and medical appointments and all those sorts of things when my children are not around. And so I try to really see my kids when they're here.
To be present with them.
Not always successful because they are very distracted by their lives, but that is a gift that I've come to realize. It's hard to come to that, realizing that that time without your kids is a gift.
Oh, say more about that.
Well, it offers me the time to do the grunt work. It offers me time to be me. Because when you have your kids home, it's not you, your mom, and it's all about them. Like, I just spend the time driving a lot, you know. It's a gift to be able to have balance, because I would not have been balanced.
I heard that. I hear that from several moms,
It
and
sounds, you feel terrible saying it, and I miss my children terribly. I miss out on so many things. But I am really trying to look at it as a gift, trying to see the benefit to it.
the benefit would be that you're not distracted
I'm
from
not
other things when your
distracted.
kids are here.
Yeah, like I still do laundry and stuff when they're around. Like they know we do chores together. Like it, my house isn't, I don't do everything when they're not here because they do need to learn life skills. But like I try to, if I'm, it's like if I'm feeling big emotions, if I'm feeling big feelings, I try to really feel them on the weekends and by myself. With my MS, I really need downtime. I've learned the gift of doing nothing, where like if my body needs me to lay, I can lay and no one needs me. And it's a gift.
And it's probably not a feeling of guilt.
I feel a little guilt, but I'm Catholic.
That's just inherent.
Yeah.
That's just that's coming regardless.
It's just from a daily. So, but yeah, I just try to look at it as a gift. Yeah. Be ready for them when they come home.
Right. It's almost like you're recharging so that you can be more present with them when they're here.
But I wouldn't have had that.
Right. Yeah, you would be always on all the time.
And with my MS, I would have been extra depleted. So
Yeah.
I think that I've been able to maintain my health better, by having this forced balance.
That is, that's a good reframe.
It took a bit. There were a lot of not good weekends.
Oh, you go from this, it's not like flipping a light switch.
No.
Yeah.
And a couple weekends ago, I cried because they were on a Disney trip and I wasn't with them. Swimming with dolphins.
What?
But yeah, that's like good for me to learn too. It's forced me to, like, I think my friends who are with their children every day, they have that gift. Then when they do have the empty nest, they're gonna be, I think, not as prepared. Whereas my children have a whole separate life and I don't speak to them at all. And so I might be my delusion speaking, but I think I'm going to be prepared for that empty nest
Yeah.
when they go away, because I've had these slowly be integrated into that.
Right. Yeah, that's again a positive reframe from, that's the point of the podcast, bitter or better. And you could very easily be bitter about the situation and how it went down and everything, but you've, through work have taken this better perspective.
I just think like it's kind of hysterical. The whole thing is funny.
It depends. Funny is one word for it.
It
Yeah.
is.
Between our stories.
It is crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. Crazy enough to start a podcast about.
I mean, I just love it. Like, called off your wedding, went off to Vegas, got married, went all over the world, came back to America, and had a phantom divorce. Like, nobody.
Phantom divorce.
But, like, all of my, none of my friends had ever met him.
This guy doesn't even exist, does he?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, but that's been the joke. Like, nobody had ever even met him. And then I'm. They called off this wedding from this person nobody's ever met, and then I married him. Nobody was there. They watched it on the internet, and I'm like, oh, well, now we're getting divorced. Nobody's even met him.
This is a movie. This
I
will be a
watch a
movie.
lot of shows
This is
about things like this. I'm like, I
movie.
do see how this could happen.
Yeah. That was a good summary. So in our last question,
Yeah.
what, this podcast is about helping other people, which is why you also agreed to do this. What do you want to leave people with or hope people take away from hearing the story?
You're not crazy. He did that. It will get better. You can be mad. You can be so mad. But don't be mad forever.
Because that madness will just kind of like eat
You don't want
you.
to be, you don't, that is not where we want to be. We want to go high. But we can be mad because we have to feel that. Go for a walk. Listen to something that makes you happy. Listen to mad music. Listen to slutty music. Listen to sad music, but not too much sad music. And then listen to dance music. Music and walking, it is therapy.
Yeah.
Podcasts or TV shows that make you laugh, therapy. Find a friend. And you can, so I've learned, you can just tell people that you want to be their friend and they will be your friend. Like, you can just tell people, like, oh, I'm, would you like to be my friend? And they're like, sure. You guys can just be friends that way. You can just go to your neighbor's house and be like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, it's a, so you like Brené Brown. One of
Love
my
her.
favorite Brené Brown quotes is, "Vulnerability is the last thing we want to show ourselves, but the first thing that we look for in other people."
I don't want to be friends with somebody who can't be vulnerable. I don't want to be a partner with anybody who can't be vulnerable. I like to show my vulnerability straight up because if you can't take me in that way, we're not, it's just not worth
And that
it.
can't be real with you. Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to. I don't have, I did that for a long time. I don't have that in me. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to hibernate at home. But you can leave.
Yeah.
And nobody's looking at you.
That is also true.
Nobody is looking at you. Most people don't care. Like, they care. Your friends care. But, like, the world, they don't even know.
They don't care that
They don't
you're at the
care.
restaurant by yourself eating dinner
No, and
because
it's okay to cry at that restaurant by yourself.
it.
It's
It's
okay. It's fine.
fine.
It's
That's
okay to
great.
cry on your walks. It's also fine. It's okay to laugh on your walks. It's okay to do whatever.
To feel the feelings.
It's fine.
It's okay to feel the feelings.
It's great.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for
I'm so
sharing your
very glad.
story. This is the first time I'm really hearing it. So,
Yeah, I
thank
don't
you.
tell the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it 'cause I yeah, you have that divorce Kevlar about you. So that we've earned, baby. We've earned it. So, well, thank you again.
Yes, thanks for coming up here.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.